Penguin Random House Audio presents In a Rocket Made of Ice, Among the Children of Wat Opat by Gail Guttrat. Read for you by Lorna Raver. Dedicated to Wayne Dale Matisse and the Children of Wat Opat. Forward. Dr. Paul Farmer. With humility and discernment, Gail Guttrat introduces us to Wat Opat, a thriving community of over 50 children and young adults, many of them members of the first generation of Cambodians to grow up living with HIV. This community is the life's work of Wayne Dale Matisse, a United States Marine Corps medic, who, having failed to prevent the deaths of two Vietnamese children on one gruesome day during his wartime service, has since served the orphaned poor and ill in Central America and Southeast Asia. He and co-founder Van Dien San opened Wat Opat as a hospice for people with AIDS in the years before antiretroviral medications were available in Cambodia. With the advent of effective therapy, Wat Opat has been transformed from a place in which the abandoned and cast off received end-of-life care into a source of hope and opportunity for its young residents whose aspirations have grown apace. Guttrat's admiration for Matisse's inexhaustible dedication to Wat Opat, as well as for his capacity for drawing on the resources cultural and personal that he sees all around him, is leavened by a frank account of what it's like to lack other resources, money usually, needed to prevent suffering and early death. Guttrat's deep comprehension emerges from her own narrative, woven together with the individual stories of children at Wat Opat as they receive their initial AIDS diagnosis and then begin a lifetime of treatment. She charts their reflections as they assimilate the loss and abandonment they've experienced within their families, and as they come to understand the raucous, dynamic community at Wat Opat as home. Guttrat doesn't shy away from examining the power imbalance between volunteer caregivers and those to whom they minister, the limitations of a visitor's ability to care for the chronically ill, the unintended consequences of well-meaning projects, and the often agonizing moral dilemmas involved in caring for the sick and dying when certain resources are scarce. In a Rocket Made of Ice offers readers rare access to the extraordinary people of Wat Opat, as well as substantive insight into the complexities of caring for the poor and sick in the developing world. Much more than a story of hope in the face of grim news and chronic disappointment, Guttrat makes a compelling case for the efficacy of ingenuity, imagination, and a commitment to human dignity when we accompany each other through adversity. Paul Farmer, M.D., Ph.D., is Kolokotronis University Professor and Chair of the Department of Global Health and Social Medicine at Harvard Medical School, Chief of the Division of Global Health Equity at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, and co-founder of Partners in Health. He also serves as U.N. Special Advisor to the Secretary General on Community-Based Medicine and Lessons from Haiti. Dr. Farmer and his colleagues have pioneered novel, community-based treatment strategies for the delivery of high-quality health care in resource-poor settings. He is the author of Infections and Inequalities, The Modern Plagues, among many other titles, and has written extensively on health, human rights, and the consequences of social inequality. Author's note. Indecisions and Decisions. In 2001, when Wayne Dale Matisse and Van Dien San founded Partners in Compassion, a tiny non-denominational, non-governmental organization, NGO, There were no AIDS drugs in Cambodia, and no means of testing for HIV either. The very idea of children growing up with AIDS would have seemed impossible. Today, some treatments are available, and Watopat, a self-supporting program of Partners in Compassion, has evolved into a visionary community where HIV-positive and HIV-negative children live together as family. And because they are growing up side by side, the fact of AIDS deeply affects all the children. Whether they have been orphaned or watched their friends and siblings die, live with HIV or AIDS themselves, or are nurturing younger siblings who are infected, or if their family or community has been touched in some other way by the disease. These children are growing up with AIDS. During my first 5-month visit to Cambodia, I had no thought of writing a book. I was not a writer, but I became one, because I found a story so worth telling. I am not a journalist, nor is this a book about AIDS in Cambodia. All the statistics you need are available online, in the many publications of the United Nations and the Cambodian National AIDS Authority. But behind the spreadsheets are real people whose lives are acutely affected by abstract policy decisions, trade agreements, and political dramas. As the African saying goes, when elephants fight, it is the grass that gets trampled. When you first meet the children, you would be hard-pressed to guess who is HIV positive and who isn't. I first wrote in a rocket made of ice, using the children's real names, but then realized that this breach of privacy might cause a child to be stigmatized in school or in the village. Neighbors know that some of the children at Watopat are HIV positive, but not which ones. And even after children leave Watopat, this information could jeopardize their careers and social prospects. It is still a child's own personal decision whom to tell and whether to tell and when. For this reason, I have chosen to change the names of most of the children and adults, both HIV positive and negative, and to not name the children in the photos or put their pictures with their stories without their permission. Thus, the inclusion of any child's picture says nothing at all about his or her HIV status. The names of some volunteers have been changed as well. Renaming people is no small matter. Cambodian names are meticulously chosen, with due consideration given to meanings and portents, and I found the struggle to change the names of my friends profoundly unsettling. I consulted many Khmer baby name lists and names of friends on Facebook, looking for more than 40 new but common names that were easy to pronounce for a non-Khmer reader. Although I tried to find a name suitable for each child in sound, poetry, and meaning, and in some instances asked a child to choose his or her own name, I apologize for any choice that might make a child unhappy. Khmer is difficult for an English speaker, and I am ashamed to admit that in 4 long stays at Watopat, I learned very little. Complex vowel sounds, implosions, unfamiliar gymnastics of mouth and tongue, and my own aging brain made it hard for me to learn more than a smattering of words. Moreover, at Watopat, there is a conscious effort to help the children grow up speaking and understanding both Khmer and English. Volunteers sometimes lapse into a hodgepodge of the two languages, but Wayne is careful to speak in complete, well-articulated English sentences as a model for the children. During my time with them, their English grew by leaps and bounds, while my Khmer remained risible. Khmer words in this book are transcribed as this foreigner heard them, with no claim to accuracy. As Khmer has its own unique alphabet, descended from the ancient scripts of India, A child may spell his name.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?